Have you read a good book lately? Tremendous Life Books is the premier publisher of motivational and inspirational books, and we're located right here in Mechanicsburg. Looking to improve your ability to interact with others at home, in business, your ministry, or community? The staff at Tremendous Life Books invite you to find something that motivates you to be a lifelong reader and leader. Visit us today at our showroom on West Allen Street in Mechanicsburg or online at www.tremendouslifebooks.com.
Welcome to Conversations with Leaders on Tremendous Life Radio, providing some of today's most influential and inspiring leaders a platform to share their stories of growing up, what happened, and what they're doing today. Now, here's your host, Todd Weaver.
Welcome, everybody, to Tremendous Life Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. We have a special guest tonight. It's really our privilege and our pleasure to welcome back to the show Mr. Tom Ziegler. Tom is the proud son of the personal development legend Zig Ziegler, and he's the CEO of Ziegler Incorporated. Today, he works tirelessly, presenting his tried and true message of hope, integrity, and positive thinking. Tom, thank you so much for coming back to the show.
Oh, my pleasure to be on again. Thanks, Todd.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to having you. You know, the last time you were on, you kind of took us through the longer version of you growing up in the Ziegler household and kind of what was going on. If you would, take us back a little bit again. I mean, what was it like growing up in the Ziegler home? Or was it kind of average?
Well, you know, it's the only experience I've had, so right. What I can tell you is an unbelievable blessing. Mom and Dad, you know, they just loved us and cared for us so much, and as good as Dad was on stage, he was even better at home. He, you know, on stage, he had the kind of that ability to come alive, you know, just to kind of light up as soon as he walked out in the public area, but at home, he was kind of laid back. He would, you know, kind of quiet, you know, we had a lot of long, good conversations, and he very seldom watched a lot of TV unless it was the Dallas Cowboys. And so he would be in the living area when we were just hanging out, and he'd be working and while we were all there just talking. So just a blessing, just, you know, an incredible childhood, and he always just wanted us to be the best we could be. He never put pressure on us to do any one specific thing, just whatever we decided to do, he wanted us to do it with 100% integrity and 100% character.
Well, and thank you for that. I mean, I'm sure you've been asked that, or I would guess you've been asked that, you know, hundreds of times. And I guess, like you said, you really don't have a point of reference. It was the only childhood you had, so you have nothing really to compare it to.
Yeah, I can tell you, though, that, you know, I had friends, and many of my friends went through different situations. You know, their home life wasn't always good, and my memories were is I never had any worries. You know, Mom and Dad loved each other, and they did the things the right way and cared about us and directed us. So, you know, what an incredible thing. And then I got to travel with Dad, and whenever he would go to foreign countries or really big events or whatever, if I was out of school or it was available for me to go, I would. So I got to see and do a lot of things that just made me, you know, appreciate my situation even more.
Well, I think I asked you this before, and thanks, Tom. You know, to get a little bit of a timeline, I mean, your dad wasn't kind of like an everyday household word, I guess, when you were growing up. Is that right? Or,
well, let's see. His book, See at the Top, came out in 1974, and that's about the same time the really big they called them PMA, Positive Mental Attitude rallies, started happening, was in the mid to late 70s. So I was born in 65. So, you know, Dad was kind of becoming a big deal when I was like 9, 10, 11, and 12. But, you know, of course, I didn't know that until I was older. But my, you know, my sister Julie, who you've interviewed before, she'd already moved out of the house before Dad had kind of hit the big, you know, the radar screen for the rest of the world. So I kind of had a different experience growing up than my sisters did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, what about, you know, you said he didn't put any even your mom or dad, you never really sensed that they put any pressure on you to do any one certain thing, just kind of nurtured you along. When you started coming to, it's hard enough growing up. I mean, when we're 10, 11, 12, finding ourselves and what we want to do. What were you doing back then? You wanted, I know you liked the golf. Where did you want to be when you grew up at that point?
Well, I think I was a pretty normal kid. I enjoyed school. I liked sports. I was playing golf. And, you know, I didn't really think much past college when I was that age. I just wanted to go to college. And, of course, when I was in college, that's when I decided I wanted to see if I could be a professional golfer. And then after college, I traveled for a year playing golf and realized how good those guys really are. And I started working at the company at the same time. So I really fell in love working at the company, especially when I moved into sales. So that's kind of when I got the bug that, of course, Dad's had most of his life. So I didn't have any dreams of being an astronaut or, you know, or anything like that. It was just go to college and the life holds, and then I saw golf, and then I started working for Dad in our business, and, you know, the rest is just kind of history from there.
Well, and I pry a little bit because the show's about you. It's not about your father. But going back, did you have any trials? Were you always pretty focused and faith centered, or where did that come about? Or take us through some of that.
You know, through college and you know, early in my career, very blessed. You know, there wasn't like an illness or an adversity or anything that I had to overcome. You know, I didn't kind of go off course very much. I'm sure that I had, you know, things, if I look back, oh, that was kind of dumb to do. But, you know, there weren't really any life-altering negative choices that I made that had long-term consequences. You know, fell in love when I was in college and got married right after college. And we waited a few years, and my daughter was born 20 years ago, as a matter of fact. She'll be 21 in a few months. And, you know, just kind of went through that. And then when I got into business, just kind of worked my way up until I became president. The first real business challenge I had was when I was 33 years old and had come up with a business plan that I thought was brilliant, but turned out it wasn't so brilliant, and it cost us a lot of money and had to go through that. But, you know, nothing I could point to is a real learning experience until I was president and made that bad business decision.
Well, and I guess you mentioned it, you know, traveling around with your dad, even all over the world, and the people that you met and the people you were around. Can you even put into words what the effect of that was on your imprinting and how you grew up? I mean, you may not have known it at the time. Can you tell us that today?
Well, you know, to me it was normal. I look back at it now and go, wow, what an opportunity that I had. In fact, I tell people that if I could go back in time and change some things, one of the things that I would probably change is any time I could travel with Dad, I would have taken it. You know, because he had access. When you think of the companies that he spoke for, the big stages that he was on, the people that he talked to behind stage, I mean, he was doing that, you know, two or three times a week in many cases, in big organizations, you know, Fortune 500 companies. And it was just normal for him. He was so humble, you know, he didn't make a big deal about it. And now I think of all those people who he met, and I was like, and I think, wow, you know, if I'd been able to go with him and just to make those contacts and build those relationships to kind of understand what goes around. Because people, you know, it's two things to remember. People who are extremely successful in business and in life, first is they're normal. You know, they have the same needs and desires that we all have. But the second is that they do things different. I mean, they're in a position of that success because they think a little different. They have habits that are different. They associate with different people. And so whenever you're around that type of people, if you know that and you can start asking them questions, it's a huge value and a huge resource. So now when I'm ever around people like that, I just – I make sure I come with the right kind of questions and really listen.
Yeah, it took you a while to learn that too, but it seems like you kind of intuitively knew that, or at least a part of that, earlier on than some guests, and including myself. That and I asked you this before, I think, but again, you never, once you realized how positive and the impact maybe that your father and the message was having on, you know, the world, really, did you ever feel pressure to, like, live up to a certain kind of thing? I mean, doesn't it get tiring to say, to hear, hey, you're Zig Ziglar's son? Or were you always just right enough with yourself that you had that all sorted out?
Well, I pretty much had it all sorted out. The only thing that was a challenge for me was, you know, people would say, oh, you should go speak, or, you know, you should do more speaking, and, you know, because your dad has the stage, you should go when you have the opportunity. And I always just kind of stayed away from that. It wasn't the first thing that I wanted to do. You know, it's kind of like not my nature, you know, and I'd have to say that probably 95% of us are that way. We don't want to get up and go speak. It's kind of the rare people who, you know, are just kind of natural in that area. But about 5 or 6 years ago is when I started speaking. And when I first started going out, I was very, you know, hesitant, nervous. I don't know what the right word is, but when I dug into it, I realized that I was nervous because I thought people wanted me to be like Dad. I thought that. And once I started talking to people, I realized they didn't want me to be like Dad. They wanted to be me. You know, they wanted me to have my own style, my own personality. And once I realized that, that allowed me to get comfortable. I mean, absolutely, when I go out there, I have to speak and represent the principles, the character, and the integrity of everything that Dad stood for. But my style, my humor, you know, who I am, that's me. If I try to fake it, if I try to impersonate Dad, it's going to come across wrong. And I think that's a lesson for everybody. You can't judge yourself compared to the other people who are out there doing something. You know, you have to look at your own talents, your own strengths, and build those up as much as you can and be the best you can be, and do it with character and integrity. That's what Dad always said. You know, just whatever you do, do it with 100% character, 100% integrity, 100% effort. And so that's what I focus on.
Well, and it's cool to hear you say that. That is integrity in a sense, right? I mean, being really kind of true to yourself. But first, we have to find out what that really is, right? You know, your own message, your own, it's an inside job, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Success is an inside job. That's a great truth. And you have to know what that means, what success means. You have to know how to communicate that. You have to have your priorities in line, and you have to live by it. And that's probably the greatest example that Dad was, is he lived by the principles that he taught. I mean, more than anything else, he was one of my friends came to me and he said, you know, your dad walks his talk, and he's a pretty good talker. So,
yeah. I have it written down on my whiteboard here, Tom. Live your message, and that's what you just touched on. And that does shine through. There's no way, I guess, people can fake that around for a while, but that just shines through. That's just a natural thing, I believe, that people know, you know, it has to start at home. You know, you have to live the principles that you speak of, right?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, because you guys, it's very admirable to me that you guys talk about your faith. And I mean, when in your life did you start to really recognize the grace, or did you recognize that all along?
Well, for me, I kind of grew up with it. I accepted Christ when I was very young, and I had the privilege of going to a Christian school, Christian camps. You know, it's just been a part of my life the whole time. I don't have a dramatic story of, you know, of going down the wrong path and then having a, you know, a big turnaround. And then watching Dad and Mom and how they, you know, dealt with situations that came up. I mean, you know, I watched many times where Dad would just make a decision because it was the right thing to do. And then on the surface, it looked like, oh, my gosh, that's really going to impact our business in a negative way. And he would just keep on going and smiling like nothing had happened. And sure enough, God would honor that in a way that we would just, you know, just mind-blowing of how things would work out. You know, business people and everybody would look at it and go, oh, you shouldn't do that, or you can't do that, or you need to wait to do that. And, you know, once Dad prayed about it and decided about it, he'd just make that decision and move on. And God honored that. So for me, it's just been a part of it. And now, like when I speak, like last year I spoke twice in London, and the audience is very mixed. You know, there's in one of the rooms we had probably 35 people and probably 15 or 20 different nationalities, 6 or 7 different religions represented there from all different parts of the world. And of course, they're there because of Dad's principles. You know, they're there to hear Zig Ziglar's secrets. And I just started off by saying, I have a question for everybody here. How many of you want to hear 100% of the reasons why Zig Ziglar said he was successful, or would you rather hear 60%? And of course, everybody wants to hear 100%. And I say, okay, you asked for it. And as you know, Dad's philosophy and everything he believed in was largely based on his faith. So I'm going to share our faith here today from the perspective of, you know, this is what we believe success is all about. And so, and the audience is awesome. You know, they want to hear it. And it's because we position it in a way to where we make it desirable for everybody else. You know, it's not condescending. It's not preaching. It's, hey, this is what we found. This is what we believe, and you know, this is why we believe it, and these are the results of it. And so it's very open, and the audience is great, very open to it.
And that's wild. But thanks for that example too, Tom. That it's you're sharing your own personal experience. So then there is no real debate, right? Is that kind of, that's just the truth then for you. That way it's not an argument.
Right. You know, and Dad would put statements out there that, you know, that are pretty funny, pretty engaging, and he would say things like, your faith is important. I know, I've done the math, and you're going to be dead a whole lot longer than you're going to be alive. You know, and people kind of chuckle and, you know, and what he's saying is your faith is important. Well, most people will agree with that, you know, and even the ones who deny faith, hopefully they spend a lot of time thinking about what that means. But the challenge in our society is to never address the really important issues in life, because the really important issues in life are our purpose, our meaning, why we're here, you know. And if we don't ever get to those, then we can never find joy and satisfaction in what we're doing. It doesn't make sense unless we put it all together.
Well, and you've been talking about significance, or I've been hearing it, or the word's been coming up, you know, and what does that really mean to you, to be significant?
Well, when I speak about our company, I say our company has two kinds of programs. We have programs that we call success programs. Success programs give you the knowledge, the information, the skills to have more of the good things that life has to offer. And then we have significance programs. Significance programs equip you to help you equip others to be, do, or have more than they thought possible. So significance is when you impact somebody else and they're able to be, do, or have more of the things that life has to offer. Success is when you yourself have more. So significance is when you impact somebody else. And of course, when we talk of significance, we never leave out the eternal, because the greatest impact we can have on somebody is when we share with them an eternal message of what it means to have significance through eternity. And through our courses, whether we're in big corporations, government, education, public events, or whatever, we're able to position that in a way where people start to ask us the questions, well, what does it mean to be significant? you know, and significance is legacy, significance is impacting the next generation, significance is teaching your team members or the people you work with something that allows them to be more successful. Oh, okay. And then we say, you know, and eternity is a long time, so you might want to think about that as well. So that's how we talk about it. And then last year I had a personal, I looked at my own personal life and I had a mission statement that I created for myself. And this is kind of my guiding light or the thing that I make decisions by. My personal mission is to help you become significant by equipping you to help others become significant. So that's what gets me going. So in a nutshell, what that means is if I teach you something and you apply it and it helps you become successful, that's fantastic. But if I teach you something and equip you and then you turn around and teach someone else and they become more successful, then that's significance, right? Mm-hmm. Because I've now equipped you to help somebody else achieve more than they thought possible.
Yeah, and then, you know, thank you for that. That is, I guess there's an old saying, I might hack it up, something about give a man a fish, you know, feed him for a week or whatever, teach him how to fish, you know, feed him for a lifetime. But, and, you know, your father and you and the organization, it seems to me, lives that message. And I'm sure that that is important for you, keeping that on the radar. There's an author, Chuck Reeves, he wrote a book called Journal of a Climber, and in there he talks about different mountains, and he uses those as kind of descriptions of what we're talking about, achievement, success, significance, wisdom, and then he talks about servanthood, like one of the top peaks of where we're going. You know, your father lived that as a power of example, right? Servanthood.
Absolutely.
And it's what you're talking about right here.
Yeah, and one of the things we've done, you know, when we look at our company is we, about a year and a half ago, we started our Ziegler Legacy Certification Program. Mm-hmm. And what we did is we took three of Dad's core programs, a personal development program called Building the Best You, a relationship program called Building Winning Relationships, and then a third program called Goal Setting and Achieving. Achievement. And those are the three kind of core foundational programs that Dad's famous for, you know, because all of life is about being the right kind of person, building the right kind of relationships, and achieving the right kind of goals. You know, it doesn't matter what you do, whether you work for a nonprofit or, you know, you own your own business or you work for someone else. If you're the right kind of person, you know how to build relationships, and you know how to set and achieve a goal, you know, then you're set up for success. And so what we did is we created our Ziegler Legacy Certification, which is when we go out and we certify others to teach those core programs. Mm-hmm. So that is our success to significance plan in action. You know, it's part of the legacy because we now have 115 certified trainers around the world, 12 different countries, translating it into foreign languages, which means that Dad's message of hope and encouragement is now – it's global. It's going everywhere. And every time we get a new certified trainer, they're going to reach an audience that we can't reach. And, you know, that's the principle of multiplication and the ability to take this legacy and pass it on through the generations.
Hey, thanks, Tom. And, I check in on you guys from time to time, you know, social media and things like that. It looks like you're having a lot of fun there in Plano.
Oh, we have way too much fun.
Well, and that's what's cool. Even listening to you chuckle when you say that, you know, to live your purpose, first to define it and kind of sort it out, and then to take action to achieve it, and then to be able to share that and equip others, you know, and you have joy. I don't know what the other words are for that. Is it correct?
Yeah, you know, joy is probably the best word, and true joy is that whole definition of significance that we talked about. You know, true joy is when you help someone else be, do, or have more than they thought possible. You know, happiness is based on circumstances or something you just did. Joy is knowing that you've helped someone else become successful or achieve something. And then, of course, when you put it into the spiritual context, you know, joy comes knowing that your eternity is secure, and you're living each and every second to, you know, to the benefit of for someone else. You know, your life has purpose and meaning, and the reason, you know, the reason we know we have purpose in us is because we're still here. We're not going to go home until our purpose is complete.
Hey, what do you think about this? This is kind of an opinion, so I'm interested in yours as well. I mean, I kind of believe, really, that we all kind of have that burning ember of a desire to be significant somewhere. I don't know if we're born with that. What's your take on that?
I think it's there, but I think for a lot of people, it's never nurtured. It's never made visible to them that it's something that, you know, that they have within them already. And people get hung up on, you know, what society wants or what they think everybody else wants. They never dig in and say, what was I made for? You know, it's an unfortunate thing. I know statistically in the United States, Gallup poll has done the study that 70% of the workforce is what's known as disengaged.
Mm-hmm.
It means that they're just doing enough to get by. You know, they see no connection between what they do on the job and their dream. You know, their job or their work that they do is just something to pay the bills. It's not a stepping stone or a springboard to their dream or their purpose. And so what we try to do is inspire people to dig deep, to understand that you do have dreams and you can achieve those dreams, and those dreams should align with your purpose. And so when you understand what that is, and then you realize that, you know, dreams take time and money. I mean, let's face it, think of any dream you have, whether it's travel or, you know, being debt-free or college funds for your grandkids or whatever your dream is. Those things take time and money. And so when you realize the better you do on the job, the faster you get your dream, right? Because mm-hmm. if you do a great job, what that usually means is that if you don't get a raise where you work, somebody else is going to hire you away. And so if you work for a dream, you're naturally going to have a better attitude, your effort's going to go up, and you're going to want more skills to do better. Because working for a dream is fun. It's inspiring. That's what I got to grow up every day watching Dad work for a dream. I mean, he didn't have to set the alarm clock at 5. He was up because there was a dream he was after. And what a cool thing that is, to be motivated, drawn towards your dream, rather than to be pushed by, you know, bills or things that you have to do. And, you know, that's the environment that I came in. So I spend a lot of time when I go out and speak and work with companies and organizations and individuals, you know, identifying the fact that, hey, if you don't have your dream lined out, you need to get busy. Because once you do, then the motivation to do the things necessary goes way up because your dream is crystal clear.
And thank you for that. And it is... It just blows my mind, Tom, that, you know, the inside job part of it all, and that's why the faith, I think, for me becomes so important, is to be able to see that there's something on the other end of that as far as, you know, I have limited time here and I want to use it wisely and the way my Creator designed me to use it and to bring as much value to as many people as I can. It makes it kind of so the alarm clock isn't a curse every day like you spoke about.
Right. one of my friends, he was Rabbi Daniel Lappin. He was Dad's mm-hmm. rabbi. He's an incredible guy, extremely wise. And in one of his books, he said that God wants us to be obsessive about the care and feeding of His children. You know, the needs of His children. So as a believer, I wake up every day knowing that God wants me to be obsessive about the needs of His children. And so when we realize that when we're in business or the work that we do is really, you know, if we're doing the right things, every time we do that well, we are taking care of the needs of His children. That's what it's about. That's why we do it.
Hey, Tom, thanks. And before I forget, the best place to find all about Ziglar and you is at Ziglar.com, correct?
Yes. There's a couple of places that I would definitely look. Ziegler.com is our website. Mm-hmm. It's got all the cool stuff there, all the different programs we have. We just launched a new thing called Ziegler On Demand. The other place that I would check out is the Zig Ziegler Facebook page. We have 3.2 million followers there. And if you're looking for a little bit of hope and encouragement and inspiration, that's where we put all of our posts, posters and quotes, and it's just a great place to go. So those are definitely two places I would check out.
I want to ask you a stickler here, and thank you so far. It's been just extraordinary. Are there ever times in your life, or have there been, even with the strong faith and the powers of example you've had in your life, are there times when you have a little bit of doubt, or when you kind of get frightened, or I don't know, anything like that?
Well, I think we all agree that, you know, we're all humans, right?
Yeah.
Right? You know, and
yes.
So the reality is every now and then, you know, you get a string of things that just doesn't seem to go your way, or what you were hoping would turn out didn't turn out. And whenever that happens, that's where your habits take over. You know, that's when, you know, I heard a great quote. Maybe you know who said this quote. I can't find the person, but the quote said this. It said, you can't determine your future, but you can determine your habits. And your habits will determine your future. Mm-hmm. And so we realize that there are habits that we do every single day that keep our momentum. And so it's spending time in God's Word. It's a quiet time. It's reading the right information. It's associating with the right kind of people. It's listening to and being inspired by, you know, great audio programs or video programs. And we've got to continually be refilling and refueling our life. I just got back from Ireland after attending a 3-day conference on how to be better at influencing others to take action. And I give seminars and training programs all the time, but yet I know that unless I take the time to fill up, I'm going to become depleted. And so when we start to fill down, or we have a string, or maybe we have a series of successes and we kind of come off of that plateau and the work gets hard again, that's when we've got to fall back on our habits, you know, our daily routine, the activities that we're doing. And we got to take special time to refill and refuel ourselves and make sure that we're doing the little things that keep us going. Dad was always doing that every single day, 3 hours a day, first thing in the morning, is he would spend it studying and filling his mind with the good stuff. And when you do that every day, then the good stuff flows out.
You know, thanks. I mean, I didn't ask that to put you on any kind of spot. You know, I asked that for any listeners that may, you know, from time to time have some doubt, you know, what you do. And you were pretty clear on what you do to kind of keep that at bay. My mentor of mine for years, every time I'm all crazy or talking to him, he always says the same thing, and I guess that's because it works. He always says, Todd, who are you helping? Who are you working with? Who are you helping? That's what he says all the time. He hangs up on me sometimes after he says that. And that's what you guys do. That's the message that I hear from you, and I hear in your father's book, See at the Top, you know, in all of the audio programs. That's the message, and I guess there's not really a lot of doubt in any of that. So, what do you got coming up? Anything you want to share with us? Anything you want to, breaking news? Anything?
Well, probably the thing that we've just come out with is a new program called Ziegler On Demand, mm-hmm. And I'm very, very excited about this. It's because of the digital age and Facebook and, you know, the fact that probably of our over 3 million followers, probably, you know, around 30% of them are international. You know, they're all over the world. And what we've done with Ziegler On Demand is we've taken Dad's most powerful programs, the ones that, you know, we've literally sold, you know, tens of thousands of copies of, How to Stay Motivated, Six Secrets of Closing the Sale, Raising Positive Kids, Courtship After Marriage, Strategies for Success. These are all the key foundational core components of Dad's message, over 60 hours of content, and we've put them all into Ziegler On Demand, which is a subscription, and you can go on either your computer or your smartphone and get it immediately. So no matter where you are, as long as you're connected to the internet, you can listen to these programs. They're all there for you. And we've put it into one easy place. So we're very excited about that. And the reason is because it's so affordable. If you were to go buy all the programs separately, you'd spend almost $1,200. But with our subscription, you can get it for either $9.95 a month or $99 for a year. So we're really trying to reach markets overseas where the economies are a little bit different, making it so easy for them.
Hey. In this digital age, it's kind of wild because we just kind of keep taking everybody's excuses away from them, huh? We make it real. We make the content and the wisdom very easy and very accessible. So I love that.
I know. And one of the things that's going to be coming out in a couple of weeks with this is there's an app that you'll be able to, when you get the subscription, there's an app that's on your phone that will allow you to download up to 3 hours of this content so that if you're on an airplane or you're out of reach on, you know, your cell phone service, you could download 3 hours of any of the content and listen to it when you wanted. So, you know, there really is no excuse anymore. Money's not an excuse. Access is not an excuse. It's all there for you.
I love it. I heard you chuckling too. And that, again, that's at Ziegler.com, right?
Yep, Ziegler.com. That's called Ziegler On Demand. Mm-hmm. We try to be original with that name.
Yeah, not bad, not bad. Listen, Tom, that's been, I mean, it's just a joy. You guys live the message. That's why it works. It's not rocket science, really. You just keep it all together in simple, actionable programs. Anybody's life can be better if they apply themselves, right?
Yep, and here's, you know, I try to think, what's the number one lesson I learned from Dad? And I always go back to my favorite quote of his. And this is, you know, he has so many quotes, but my favorite quote is this one. You are what you are and where you are because of what's gone in your mind. You can change what you are and you can change where you are by changing what goes into your mind. And that's so simple. If you're not happy with who you are or where you are right now, that's okay because you can change that. You're where you are because of the sum total of everything that you've got, that's gone in, right? All the information you've gathered, negative and positive, that creates who you are. If you want to be in a different place, then you change the input. You know, you start listening to the good stuff. If you want to have a certain kind of business, you start filling your mind with that kind of information. If you want to have the right kind of relationship with your spouse or your kids, you start reading books on family or marriage. I mean, you put those things into your mind. And I took that quote of Dad's and I kind of shortened it and I made my own quote. And my quote is, it's simple. It just says this: what you feed your mind determines your appetite. What you feed your mind determines your appetite. I was sharing that quote at a seminar, and this lady in the back row stood up, and she said, Tom, that's just like NASCAR. And so, that, you know, of course, I wasn't thinking NASCAR, and so I had her stand up. I said, tell me how that's like NASCAR, because I couldn't believe it. And she said, oh, it's easy. She said, when you're going around the track at 190 miles an hour, your eyes have to look where you want the car to go. At that speed, if you look at the wall, you'll hit the wall, right? Because the car follows where the eyes are pointed. You know, it's like a signal that we send out. And life is so much the same way. You know, we go through life and we say, don't eat that, don't say that, don't do that. And so what do? You know, we eat that, we say that, and we do that. Mm-hmm. Instead, we need to put the right things in our mind so that we focus on the things that we want to become, the things that we want to do, the things that are going to make us the right kind of person. And when you do that, everything changes. And so I think the greatest lesson that Dad ever taught me personally, and probably most people, is, hey, what you put in your mind determines everything, mm-hmm. and it's a choice. So choose wisely.
Tom, thank you so much. It's just really always an honor to have you with us, things you're doing. You're reaching a lot of people, and since you kind of have moved into the position, I believe you're really changing Ziegler Corporation as far as, you know, with the times, and really you're making both you and your father's message just so much more available to so many more people, and that's really significant.
That's what we're working on. We've got a most of the world doesn't know about it yet, so we got to fix that.
Well, if I have anything to do about it, they're going to know.
We need all the help we can get.
Hey, man. No, we all need plenty of help, and that's through grace as well. Tom, you know, it's just been a real joy. I really appreciate you coming on the show, sharing all your wisdom. You're so, like, laid back. It almost makes me crazy. Really, thanks so much. thanks so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right, Tom. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
There you have it, Mr. Tom Ziegler. What a guy, I'll tell you. He seems certainly right with himself. The message is there. You can get everything at Ziegler.com. Check out Ziegler On Demand. It really is a heck of a spot, all in one location. You got 60 hours of wisdom there. Ziegler.com. Click the button for Ziegler On Demand. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the show. We really appreciate it. We really want to thank Mr. Tom Ziegler and his family. Oh, we forgot to wish Mrs. Jean Ziegler a happy birthday. The beginning of the month, I believe, was Jean Ziegler, the redhead's birthday. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Tremendous Life Radio. Get over to TremendousLifeRadio.com. You'll see all the guests coming up. You can contact us there. The archives are pretty full there. We have hundreds of hours of wisdom with some remarkable, remarkable people, really inspiring authors, personal development leaders. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Until next time, make it a great day.